Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put hundreds of millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night, Easter Sunday, to this edition of the Rebel Report. I hope all of you had a great day celebrating with your family and had a pleasant and happy Easter. And thank you for being here, despite it being a holiday and also WrestleMania. So it's Easter Sunday, and also WrestleMania is happening right now. I'm not a wrestling guy. But I'm not the type that knocks it either. Like, I watched The Heritage this afternoon. Justin Thomas sinks a 25-footer on the first playoff hole to win. That was pretty sick. But to each their own. I'm not a wrestling guy. But my goodness, do the wrestling guys love wrestling? My timeline is just filled with WrestleMania. So Easter, WrestleMania, and if you're here, I appreciate you. We're talking transfers. Ole Miss football got better, or at least on paper. Seems like they got better, or at least addressed some positions of need in the transfer portal. So we'll talk about that. Also, baseball. They lose the series to South Carolina. They did salvage Sunday. How much of that is a bad weekend and how much of that is who they are? Well, we'll talk about it again on this edition of the Rebel Report. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report. I recommend Spotify, but it is everywhere. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And this edition is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out. ToyotaofBrookhaven.com is the website. They're off exit 40 right there in Brookhaven. So if you're looking for a car buying experience, and a car buying experience that is through people that will care about you, that's where you go. Don't go just in your backyard because it's, you know, right down the street. It's a big purchase, and you want to do it with people that will treat it delicately the way that I wish when I bought my last car would have been treated. Toyota Brookhaven will take care of you. Tell them I sent you $1,000 off any in-stock new Toyota. $1,000 off before anything else. $1,000 on me. They have a service department, so if you're in the area, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m., 7 p.m., one of the highest-rated service departments in the state of Mississippi. You got great financing options. Interest rates as low as 1.99% if you're going to buy a new Tundra. Check them out. Toyota Brookhaven, exit 40 in Brookhaven. They will deliver for you. Trust me, they most definitely will. So, Ole Miss, big weekend in the transfer portal in football, and they needed it. You know, we talked about how if you take Lane Kiffin at his word, they needed defensive back help, and they got one. Last time we talked about it. They got another. They also seemingly needed a running back, considering there was an injury from one of their incoming transfers, and then they had one transfer out, one of their new additions transfer out. Welcome to college football in the year 2025 is what it is. But they needed a running back, and they got one. And from a experience perspective, from a talent perspective, they very well could have upgraded from the running back that they lost in the transfer portal just a few days ago. And then offensive line. They added an offensive lineman as well. And as you guys know, they always could. Every football team in America could always use offensive line help. Let's start with the defensive back, though. He's a South Alabama transfer. Ricky Fletcher is his name. He's a big cornerback. He's a 6'3", 200-pound corner. Originally from Mississippi. Did not play last year due to injury. But put up some good stats in 2023. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you guys and tell you that, you know, this guy's a game changer and he's so good and now he's changing the secondary and all that stuff because I don't know. I don't know what that's going to be like. You have seen recently in the portal era Ole Miss get players from that level that came and produced. I don't like being trust the coaches guy. I think that if you get into every move that the coach makes is a good one, then then you become propaganda instead of, you know, just what you guys want, which is an honest opinion from a joker like me. But I am generally always going to, until proven otherwise, think that a Pete Golding evaluation is a good one. Now, I know he's not, he and nobody else bat 1,000, but if Pete Golding thinks that this guy can play in the defensive secondary, I think it's because this guy can play in the defensive secondary. Until proven wrong, I will assume that this guy can play and can help Ole Miss just because Pete Golding has earned that benefit of the doubt. But again, didn't play last year. We'll see. Just simply, and that's not the best approach in this business. I've got to either A, tell you that every one of these players is the best player that Ole Miss could sign and now they're going to be good, or that they're bad. You know, you've got to have a strong opinion. I'm going to be well-C guy with the portal additions. But the strategy makes sense. More on that in a second. The second pickup they got this weekend, Terrez Davis from Maryland. He was their offensive tackle, or one of their offensive tackles. He's 6'5", 310, played in 10 games as a true freshman last season. And according to the stats, he gave up one sack and two quarterback pressures in 300 snaps. A very talented freshman. I know that they didn't want to see him go. Maryland didn't want to see him go, and Ole Miss picked him up. I'm very curious as to what they think his role might be, considering that they are returning both of their expected starting tackles with Pounds and Williams. Do they think that this guy can come in and take one of their spots? Or, I mean, the offensive line, as you guys know, I'm not, you know, telling you anything you don't already know. You get hurt a lot, and Williams, unfortunately, especially, has an injury history himself. Did they think that they needed depth at tackle? Well, the answer is obviously yes. I wonder also if they need some interior help as well. Offensive line, very clearly in the portal era, is a position where evaluations are difficult. We saw it last year where Ole Miss, on paper, did an objectively great job in the portal. If you look at who they signed and where they came from and what their pedigree was, and they got to Ole Miss and they didn't perform well enough. And so that's why we spent some time talking this offseason about, you know, they didn't make a change at offensive line coach, which is interesting because they underperformed on the offensive line. And that in part was why they couldn't run the football. Jackson Dart's ability to, you know, move in the pocket and get the ball out fast at times masked some of their issues on the offensive line as well, but they really couldn't run the ball last year against the better teams they played because they were so bad up front. But they did a really good job recruiting on the offensive line. They've added an analyst that people are really high on, former NFL coach coming in and helping on the offensive line. Maybe that will be the X factor and the difference there. But on paper, this is a good pickup. I mean, a guy with multiple years of eligibility who, I mean, played in the Big Ten and played a lot of snaps in the Big Ten and is somebody that they definitely did not want to see go and has a talent upside. You know, it'd be different if he was coming from, you know, instead of the Big Ten, the Big West or whatever. So at least they have some film on him playing against teams that are of comparable talent level. No doubt about that. But because of what happened on the offensive line last year, I am very much in wait-and-see mode, regardless of who they've added via portal, regardless of what comes out from spring practice about this guy stepped up. And I'm not buying any of it because I bought it last season. I really bought into the returning four starters, adding four from the portal, and it didn't work. And I know there was some injury stuff that hampered some of that, but until I see improvement on the offensive line, I'm not going to tell you that another portal addition is going to be the difference between them being bad and good up front this year. I just got to see it. And I think that's honestly the fairest approach to this because of what happened last year on the offensive line and not making a change at offensive line coach. But on paper, it is a pickup that you love, especially this late in the process. There aren't many guys with his resume available in the portal really at all this cycle anyway. As we talked about back in the winter portal, the talent level for portal guys was less. There wasn't as many talented guys compared to a year ago. especially not in the spring. So a guy with this resume, picking him up, you like that. You absolutely like that. And finally, Damian Taylor, the running back from Troy, has also transferred to Ole Miss. He's the size back that you like to see. He's 5'11", 220, was a 1,000-yard rusher last year, was an all-Sun Belt guy as well. And I'm curious about role here because, you know, we talk about Logan Diggs a lot. And if he is back to his previous injury self, you have a productive and talented back there who's, again, the appropriate size. But what do they think about the other guys? Is Lacy not somebody that they think they're going to be able to rely on? Or do they want to make sure that Mills Knight is somebody that they don't have to – like, what do they see the pecking order here? They had to add a body, but this guy in particular is one that is going to come in and expect to play. He had lots of options, which is a good thing for Ole Miss. A lot of people wanted this guy. But what I'm curious as to what they think his role is going to be and how does he fit in this running back room. We've seen a Lane Kiffin-coached Ole Miss team, although it was a different offensive coordinator, have four rushers with over 500 yards. Now, that included Matt Corral at quarterback, but there has been a time in recent Ole Miss history where they've had three backs that were really, really productive. Judkins carried the overwhelming majority of the load, but remember, when Zach Evans was healthy, he got a lot of run and was really productive as well. He just couldn't stay healthy for a full season. Maybe they're going to try to do a more of a by-committee approach. And, I mean, now when you look at the experience in the backfield between Diggs and now Taylor, these are two guys that have run the football a lot. And I know Taylor's in the Sun Belt, but that's the best G5 league. I think it is anyway, right? Or is it the AAC? Either way, I mean, 1,000-yard rusher last year. You know about Diggs already. And so, you know, there's potential for the running back room to have a high ceiling. I am very curious about the roles for these three guys and what they expect those roles to be, because they signed a bunch of running backs last year. They signed a running back last year from a G5 league that was a 1,000-yard rusher, and he could not get on the field. So is this going to be the same thing, or is this going to be different? We'll have to see, but he definitely has the size. And the room is now back to, when it comes to bodies anyway, back to a position that you're much more comfortable with and with this addition. So the strategy makes sense. They're adding in positions of need. They also had a defensive back visitor this weekend, Zaquan Patterson from Miami. I don't know if he's committed or not yet. I have not seen official word on that yet, but they're still working on the secondary, which, again, continues to tell you a lot. But it makes sense. They're adding on the offensive line because they always could get better there. They needed a running back. They went out and got a running back. They needed to address a serious need at defensive back. They've done that with two guys already who have the pedigree anyway that you like if their game translates. And I mean, they've already offensively added so many at wide receiver, and you should absolutely love the receiver room, by the way. This roster, if some of these guys can acclimate and if their game can translate to this level, the roster is shaping up to be not pretty solid, starting to shape up to be really solid, really across the board as they continue to address needs in the spring portal. Wasn't all good this weekend. Kalo Stone, according to Ben Garrett, good guy that Ben Garrett, is transferring. Ben said he's heard from Florida State, Michigan State, North Carolina, among others. That stinks for Ole Miss. He was not going to start, but he is an experienced defensive lineman that I think would have played for this team and been very useful. You need depth on the defensive line. And he would have provided really, really quality depth on the defensive line. So that's a loss. Is it a huge, you know, oh no, the defense is in trouble type loss? No. But that kind of depth doesn't grow on trees. And so now I think you should expect them to possibly add a body in that room as well. So again, I don't think he was going to be a starter, but I do think that he would have certainly helped that team, and now they need to go find a way to replace him. So we'll see. The podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. If you're a Mississippi business, anything technology related for your business, absms.com. Tell them I sent you, and they'll give you an assessment for your technology, give you a quote, all that stuff on me, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money. Also, local loan servicing and decision-making. If you need a loan, you sit down with somebody face-to-face. You don't get on the phone. You don't talk to – you're not getting weird phone calls from numbers that are from people that aren't in your area, but they use a thing that – makes it look like they're calling from your area. None of that stuff with Priority One Bank because, again, they make you their priority. So I want to start the baseball conversation with this comment. First, really big weekend for the football portal, absolutely. But then it was a really weird weekend in SEC baseball as a whole. So here's the thing that we do on the radio show sometimes, or that I do anyway. I don't know if Haydad does it much, but there's with every situation, there's positive spin, there's negative spin, and the truth. And the truth, of course, lies somewhere in the middle of those two things. The positive spin, if you're looking for that for Ole Miss baseball this weekend, is that was their first bad weekend of the year. And I know they haven't won every series, but I don't think you can look at the Arkansas series being one out away from winning it as a bad weekend. Now, they came up short. The bullpen was not able to give them a series win, but they didn't. That wasn't a weekend where you came away thinking, ooh, that team played poorly. That was a bad weekend, right? Same thing with the Tennessee series. They should have won that series. They didn't, but we didn't come away talking about that series as if they were bad. That was a bad weekend for Ole Miss. This was their first bad weekend. And you look around the league, I mean, the aforementioned Tennessee lost to Kentucky, for example. I mean, Auburn got swept, right? It happens. That's baseball is a phrase that makes people roll their eyes, but there is a reason people say it is because sometimes you have bad weekends. And this was, it's not just a bad weekend. You go back to the Little Rock game. It was a bad three games for Ole Miss at the plate. That was awful. It was a hard watch. The approaches were brutal. They give up a complete game with under 90 pitches thrown in game one, and then they turn around and have, what was it, five innings where they saw 10 or fewer pitches. The offensive approach in this series was awful. It was awful. But that does happen sometimes. And the offense that produced against the Tennessee pitching staff and the Arkansas pitching staff didn't suddenly just become hot garbage. And like, because I saw some of the, well, Ole Miss got exposed. This is who they really are. I don't agree with that. Not yet, anyway. Now, your antenna should be up. Your antenna should be up. And if they like lose to Vanderbilt this weekend and lose that series and they really start a slide, then you can point back to that three-game stretch as, okay, that was either A, that the Tennessee series broke them, or that they started a collapse. So, you know, I'm not dismissing this as if it was good, because it's not. What happened in those three games before yesterday offensively was really bad. There's your negative spin. That was awful to watch. And I think that they're at this point, you have got to start Morris. He's got to start. You cannot have your best pitcher three weekends in a row not throw a single pitch, not only without a lead. He didn't throw a single pitch when the game was tied. He never even got to throw a pitch when the game was tied for 3 weeks in a row, and he is your best pitcher. I understood the strategy in the Tennessee game. Like, I get where he's coming from, he being Mike Bianco. But Mason Morris is your best pitcher. It's time for your best pitcher to be given the opportunity to win a game instead of keep it close to try to let your offense win the game as he stops them from losing. You know what I mean? I don't know if I worded that correctly, but he needs to pitch. He needs to start weekends. I think that change needs to happen now. But you are not, I don't think, going to see them struggle that bad offensively moving forward. I don't think you will. they are allowed to have a bad weekend. We've seen them against much better teams produce. And despite the approaches being what they were, I don't think yet we can make a determination that everything we saw up until Little Rock on Tuesday was a mirage, and now we know who they really are. I don't think that's particularly fair. So they bounced back in game three, smashed the baseball all over the park. We'll see what they do this weekend with Vanderbilt. This is a massive series now. Their RPI has really fallen in the projections. They will not be a host anymore, and they won't deserve to be in the hosting conversation anymore until they can play their way back into it. So it was ugly. It was bad. I do think that they're allowed to have an off weekend, and I do think that they have proven that they are much better than they looked. They just need to very quickly pull themselves out of whatever that was for three games, and maybe the third game of the series was just that. So we'll see. We will see. Happy Easter, Heidi Tidy from Alabama. Good to see you. Ole Miss baseball needs to get right this coming week against Vanderbilt. That game versus State and Pearl might be rained out. They likely have to finish 6-6 to get to 16-14 and have a shot at a host. Yeah, the problem is now they've got an RPI draining loss there with Little Rock. But there are so many SEC teams in line to host. Part of me wonders if you don't want to be the last one because they might look for an excuse to not. To not give it to you. Love the Theo and Lane interview. Imagine what Theo and Mike Leach interview would have been like. Oh my gosh. Oh, it would have been unbelievable. All quiet news in men's basketball. That won't last long. That won't last long. The running back edition feels like Rashad Amos verbatim. You hope not, right? That they need it to not be like that. Last year's running back room, it's well established. We've talked about it a lot. Is a shocking mismanagement. I'm very surprised that a Lane Kiffin coached offense allowed their running back room to become what it was last year and the way they handled it and the charade that it became. I'm very surprised about that. We're going to find out if they've learned their lesson or not. First two games against Carolina were disgusting. The Bats are having serious issues, especially early on in series. And, like, you can forgive, like, game one against Tennessee, right? Because Doyle, I know that he is very hated among Ole Miss people, and I don't blame you at all. You should. But he's exceptional, right? So if you don't hit him, fine. It happens. But there was absolutely no reason for a guy with a double-digit ERA in conference play to just absolutely shove the way he did against you. Have one proven running back in Diggs with one potential with Knight, one of his guys in Lacy, and one who is decent in Dominique. I don't think you're going to see many carries from him, truly. If he didn't get on the field last year, then I don't think you should expect it this year. How much NIL money did they spend last year on the running back room? Too much, that's for sure. That's for sure. Remember when Judkins left, had to lock down Bentley. That came from them, and they paid him and didn't use him. You guys know that already. We don't need to rehash it. Any insights on Sage Ryan through spring? You know, we don't get to – nobody gets to really watch practice, like the real parts of practice. They get to see some one-on-one drills and stuff, but – so no, I know LSU fans were happy to see him go, which whatever. The LSU, forget fans, like their burner accounts on Twitter. They, you know, whatever. I'm not talking about them. Their media taking his quote about being excited about playing against LSU and turning that into whatever the hell they turned it into was bizarre. I mean, it wasn't bizarre. It was stupid is what it was. They just wanted to take an opportunity to hate on the guy for some reason. All he said was, it's going to be a war. I'm really excited. I can't wait to play against my guy Nuss. Like that was his quote. It was like, yeah, it's going to be a war. I'm really excited to play against my old team, and I'm excited to play against my guy. Like, he called the quarterback my guy, meaning, like, my friend. Like, I'm excited to play against my friend. And they took that as, oh, my gosh, can you believe this? What do you want him to say? Oh, I am just so, oh, I'm so, like, I'm scared of LSU. And, oh, my gosh, I don't even want to play that game because they're so, like, what do you want him to say? Hey, that was a joke. I don't know if you guys saw that reaction, but, God, it was pathetic. It was so pathetic. I mean, he gave an innocuous quote about being excited to play against his former team, and people took it and ran with it like a bunch of losers. It was truly just ridiculous, but don't know what to think about Riley Maddox. He got some pretty horrific defense behind him. Nichols was really good. Maddox is, you guys know, a pitch-to-contact guy. He's going to have good defense played around him. He just is. But I just don't think that you can continue to use Morris the way you do, and maybe you keep that rotation the way it is. I think that you switch his and Nichols' roles, but go ahead and pitch him on Friday nights. Go ahead and pitch him game one. Go ahead. He's your best pitcher. Pitch him in game one. Use Nichols in his role and move Maddox to Sundays and Elliott to game two, where he's probably more suited anyway. That's what they probably should do. And you would think that Bianco could draw from his experience winning the national championship, moving to Lucia late. Maybe they'll do that. We'll see. Maybe the run rule yesterday can help stabilize things. It felt like an important bounce back to at least get something. Been a really bad week. Yeah, and emphatically get something, right? You know, like, they didn't just win the game. They dominated, so they get to at least take that back with them. On the new running back, I think the injury rule change might enable Lane to sub in the backfield more often without the threat of a laydown timeout. But here's the thing. That new rule change barely, it really doesn't help much. It only stops things or changes things if you fake an injury after the ball is spotted. And so what teams are going to start doing now is like what Ole Miss did against Oklahoma, for example. Oklahoma would sub, and then Ole Miss wait to the last second, and they would slow sub too. And, like, the player would take a long time getting off the field, and you're going to see more of that, I think. The room for all of its mismanagement last year looks overall better on paper. Yes. If the running backs end up being good, it shouldn't surprise you, right? Experience with Diggs, you've got now at a lower level, but you've got more experience now with this new addition in Taylor. You've got super high upside freshman with Mills Knight. You've got guy that they wanted out of high school in Lacey. So there's a lot more there, it seems. Concern still lies with the offensive line, but the transfer helps. Yep, absolutely. Panic time for the baseball team, man. I don't think yet. I don't think yet. Going to try to be patient for another week. If they no-show against Vandy, I'll hit the red button. Yeah, that's when. If we're back here next Sunday talking about another series loss, then it's panic time. Then it's panic time. It's a must-win, too. I agree with that. Got to start Morris. It's beyond time. Another one, Morris needs to start. Yes, it's Morris time. Friday Morris. you guys are in lockstep. Kentucky went on the road and won 2 of 3 in Knoxville. A&M is scorching hot. Texas is the cream of the crop, and I think State might miss the postseason now. That situation might get weird quick. Friday Morris, Saturday Elliott, Sunday Maddox, Nichols long relief. That's what I would do. Understand the want for Morris to pitch, but it's moot if the bats wake up for Friday games. We win game one of every series with pitching if we hit like a team learning T-ball. If we hit above T-ball, that Friday pitching tandem is unbeatable, but that's a giant if. It's true, and it's true, but using your best pitcher for 3 weeks in a row in which he never pitched, in which he had a tie or a lead, is mismanagement. what happened to Hunter Elliott. It's command issues right now. It's command. That's what it is. Ray Tanner was a great commentator. He did a really good job. I enjoyed him. And you know what's funny is you get that like former coaches and ball players and stuff. Sometimes they can be so boring, like what you got with Kentucky. And then other times they can just have like good high energy and be really informative, like you got with South Carolina this weekend. Tanner was good. And being the AD at South Carolina, of course, you know, they got more excited when South Carolina did things at Ole Miss because they're South Carolina's broadcast team. But I don't think that, like, he kept it professional for as much as he could anyway. I thought that that was good for you know, the AD at South Carolina, national championship winning baseball coach at South Carolina, to commentate like that. There's a functional cap on SEC hosts at about 10. They will send at least 2 to the West Coast and at least 3 to the ACC. They will try. They're 10. I'm telling you that you don't want to give them a reason to not give you a host. So they're 10-8, which isn't ideal after being 8-4, but they're still okay. Yes, they're still okay, but need to get right. Don't need to change expectations so harshly because most of us weren't too high to start with. That's true. LSU media bizarre. No way. Here ends the sarcasm. It really was, man. I know that. And by the way, it's not like he pulled a Quinshon or it's not like he pulled a Nico. They wanted him gone. They hated him there. They wanted him gone. And so he leaves and goes to what they view. Now, hear me. Goes to what they view as a lesser program. And he says he's excited to play against his former team and his quarterback's his guy, or his old quarterback's his guy, and he's looking forward to it. And they roast him for it. It was crazy. Just so, so stupid. South Carolina's park looks a lot like Trustmark Park. Yeah, it's got a very minor league feel to it, but it's much better kept. Let's put it that way. It's much better kept. It's a nice ballpark. It's more of a relaxed atmosphere. It definitely feels more minor league baseball than it does college baseball. But it's a very nice park. Just it doesn't have the crowds that they used to. They've just done so much losing lately that, you know, they're not as willing to fill it up like they used to be. This team should be capable of hosting a regional. The program has expectations. They are absolutely capable of it if they play to their ability down this for the rest of the series. They will. We'll see if they can. I think the Tennessee commentators weren't half bad. I mean, most of these guys try really hard, you know, to do a good job and to put on a solid broadcast. And some are just better than others. It's hard to find. And not only do you have to find them for baseball, you got to find them for softball and volleyball and soccer. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of inventory and very few people that can actually do the job. Calling games isn't easy. Saw a Twitter post that compared Kentucky to the minor league affiliate of the Savannah Bananas, and I openly laughed. Tennessee is Globo Gym. Yeah, that Mickey Mouse stuff that Kentucky does. And hey, it worked for him this weekend, but gosh, is it annoying. It is so annoying. There's going to be a segment of Mississippi State fans that want that in their dugout next year if Lamonis continues to lose. But anyway, I got to run, guys. Appreciate you. We'll be back on Tuesday. We'll be back on Tuesday. We'll probably talk draft. And then Thursday, the plan is Thursday we'll go live after the first Ole Miss player is selected on Thursday. That is the plan for now, is just simply if it's Dart, if it's Nolan, if it's Amos, whichever one goes first, we'll go live immediately after it and then talk through the draft is what we'll do. But I'll see you guys on Tuesday. You have a great rest of your Easter Sunday, and I'll talk to you then.
Never take your heart health for granted. For just $99, you can get a complete screening and know your risks. Call 601-249-5198 to schedule your Happy Healthy Heart screening at Southwest Mississippi Regional Medical Center.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.